Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And I'd like to ask you, are you following your inner compass? Have you always followed it? I hope so. Life would be so much easier. But let's learn to do it better, because there's this wonderful new book called Find and Follow Your Inner Compass by Barbara Berger, who's been on the show before, and she's a wonderful author and wonderful person. Barbara, welcome.
Thank you.
I'm so glad we could talk about her inner compass, because if we don't know it, we don't know to use it.
Exactly.
And we're drawn into all kinds of things where we shouldn't go.
Amen to that.
Right. It's amazing how distracted we can be by life in ways that we don't have the perspective of that deeper place in ourselves that knows better.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's actually what this book is about, that you have an inner compass and that I have an inner compass and that every person alive has an inner compass. I mean, just to sort of go general first, I've written a lot of books, as you know, Peter, and all my books are about self-empowerment, right?
Right.
And what could be more self-empowering than to know that you or I or whoever we are, that we have an inner compass, which is our direct connection to what I call the great universal intelligence that created all of life, including us.
Exactly.
And this connection, just so I can sort of say what the premise of this book is, that the inner compass is our direct connection to the great universal intelligence, and that it is always giving us reliable information as to what is best for us, and it does so by means of our emotions. So the better you feel, the more ease and flow you're experiencing, the more joy, love, peace, harmony, the more good feeling emotions you're experiencing, that's actually the signal from the inner compass that you're in alignment with your true self.
Well, that's harmony, and that's how I relate to it, really, as feelings that you feel harmonic about.
Exactly.
Rather than all these other disturbed feelings.
Well, again, so you could say that, and then that's the opposite. When you don't have those good feelings, when you feel distrust or fear or anxiety or depression or irritation or anger, all the so-called negative emotions, again, they are a sign that you're off the beam, that your compass is no longer pointing north, that you're not in alignment anymore with your true self.
Right. It's not so easy, though.
No, it's not so easy. I know, that's why I wrote this book.
Right.
Absolutely. Not so easy. The reason why it's not so easy, it is what I've discovered from my own experience and from coaching hundreds and hundreds and thousands of people over the years, is that we all know we have emotions, but we're not aware of the significance of our emotions. In other words, everybody knows, okay, this feels good and this feels like shit. I mean, we all know that. But that the emotions are actually a signal, that they are the feeling barometer that are telling us where we are in terms of our alignment with our true selves, the great universal intelligence, the God force, life, whatever you want to call it, the greater whole. That's the piece that's missing, which I try to hammer home in this new book.
Right. But it's also being able to trust ourselves to
Absolutely.
Trust our feelings, to believe in ourselves enough to think that we can use an inner compass correctly.
Absolutely. I mean, that's what the whole book is about. So, I mean, the first couple of pages is just the concept of the inner compass, but then comes what you say. Once we know about this, or if we already do know about it, what is preventing us? As you say, it's not so easy.
Well, it's conditioning.
It's absolutely conditioning, the way we've been programmed, the way we've been brought up, the flawed premises, the faulty belief systems. And we have been programmed from a very early age that we should please other people.
Well, not only that, it's our identity too that can be conditioned. And for instance, I was brought up in an artistic family.
Okay, lucky you.
My father was an artist.
Really?
My uncles were artists. They were famous as, you know, the four Roth brothers. And then all my cousins became artists.
Okay.
It was this, you know, so I grew up understanding that I needed to have an art life.
Okay.
Art was God.
Okay.
And I forced myself into it in a way that had no understanding of who I really was.
Mm.
And it was
horrible.
For many years, I had a photo studio. I am a good artist, and I enjoy art. It's mm-hmm. just, I also love this that we're doing and the kind of work I've come into, which is to helping people. And then I found out over the years with all the things that I was trying to be, because I didn't know what my inner compass was saying to me. But all those years I was trying to be something else, I became who I am. Just because my natural inclinations kept drawing me to helping people. I used to have clients, art directors come to my studio with jobs only because they needed me to help them with their personal.
They wanted you to tell. Okay, but again, if you go back to it, it's really a good example of what you're saying. So, but if you go slow and remember how it was, you must have had some level of discomfort around the fact that you were not actually in harmony with your true calling, as you say.
Right, because I didn't know that, because I didn't know how to.
Exactly. But I mean, if you look at it from today with the knowledge that you have, to always say, it's really interesting what you say, because when I work with clients and we get into a story like yours, if you go back in time, you realize that the signal was actually there from the very beginning, but you didn't recognize it and you didn't actually know what it meant.
Right. When I was in high school, I took not an achievement test, just a test to see what you should be in life.
Mm-hmm.
And they came up with that I should be a psychologist.
Okay.
And I laughed at that. I said, helping others, I can't even help myself. And that was the end of that. But by the time I got to graduate school and I started to be interested in management, I wanted to uncover human needs and people and you know, so there were lots of clues. but
it's really fascinating. As you look back, you can see that there were lots of clues. And sometimes I think that if we had understood better, I mean, how many byroads and detours we have been on, you and I. I mean, I have the same story, all the things we've tried, and
right.
it has been some elements all the time, as you say. As it was,
the clues were there.
Exactly. There have been elements all along, but okay, thank God now we're old enough that we can dedicate ourselves. So are you dedicating yourself to your...
Oh, I love my life right now.
Okay,
you know,
so that's just the fact that you can say that. I love my life right now.
Yeah.
That's it. I mean, that's a sign that you're in alignment with the greater universal intelligence's divine plan for Peter.
Right. That's I always cool. tell people, please learn how to use me. I'd love to be used. I'd love to help people. And I have so many ways, including radio shows helping people. And I want all my shows to really be important in people's lives for their growth.
It's wonderful, Peter. It's wonderful. I mean, it's the same motivation that drives me too. I mean, all the books I write, all the clients I have, all the workshops, it's all the same. I mean, self-empowerment, how can we live the most wonderful, expansive, joyful, giving life possible? I mean, what could be more fun than that?
Right. So we want to figure out now, you know, how to follow our inner compass better.
Yeah.
Because it's, there are too many distractions to it. The biggest one are all the people in our lives.
Absolutely.
And what they want.
And Facebook and
all kinds of ways that,
exactly,
that people expect things of us.
So it's the bombardment from the outside, constant information about how to live a happy life, what you should do, what your mother thinks, your brother thinks, your partner thinks, your friends. I mean, so it's from morning to evening. It's true.
Yeah, so, and interesting that you mentioned Facebook, because that's an interesting topic, because there's so much exposed on Facebook about people's lives.
Exactly.
That often are hard to hold in our own lives, you know. They're,
well, I notice with my clients that I have found a really good way of, you know, because we talk about it a lot, especially the younger generation, that they are, that the images, the happy families, the, you know, the perfect children, the great partner, the wonderful life, everything that people post on Facebook about how happy they are, I actually have them for clients, these people.
And they're not as happy as it looks.
No, so it's really getting real about what people actually post and which pictures they select and what, again, it's selective revealing of their life.
Because I don't post bad stuff about myself.
Nobody does. But again, we need to understand, and the younger generation, which doesn't have as much experience yet, that especially the ones who I have are like in their 20s. I mean, they are so plugged in from morning to evening that at their ability to discern, we're really talking discernment, it's so painful for them that they don't have a filter, really.
Right. And that's, you know, what I said about Facebook, it's raw. It exposes us to so many other lives in ways that our own life feels, you know, the struggle of keeping up or of...
The image.
Yeah, or envy. There's a lot, you know, there are people
To work with this, in the book I describe on one of the first pages I have developed what I call the inner compass exercise. Because again, so when I talk to people about this and then they say, well, Barbara, what do we do? So I've developed this exercise, which is basically a form of mindfulness. And it's really, I say to people, and I give it to my clients as homework, to stop up in the course of your day, every now and again, depending on if you're at work or you're with your family or with your friend, what in these different situations, and just ask yourself, how do I actually feel right now? How do I actually feel, honestly? Do I feel good? Does this situation feel good? Does this person give me a sense of ease? But the thing that I've noticed is even though this sounds really, really simple, it's so difficult to do, because most people have this idea about how I should feel in this situation or what other people are expecting me to feel in this situation.
Right. I like to use the word vibe. What's my vibe?
That's a good word. Again, the frequency.
Yeah, what vibe am I in? Mm-hmm. Or what vibe is this pushing me into?
I agree. But again, but my point here is to be able to answer the question honestly. I have noticed with some clients that they get pale when I ask them to do that. It's like the thought of, I should actually answer honestly how I actually feel in this situation or this. It's very anxiety provoking, because they think, oh, if I actually get in contact with how I really feel, then I'm going to have to do something about it.
Right.
I'm going to have to take action. So I always say to people in the beginning, when you're sort of getting used to this, just forget about that you have to do anything with the information, but just start out with seeing if you actually can answer the question honestly. But then there's one other thing that people come back and tell me. They come back and tell me that as soon as they try to do that, they quickly are thinking, what would my mother think, or what would my boyfriend think, or what would my wife think? And then I say again that as soon as you find yourself doing that, leaving your center, and worrying about what other people would think about the situation or think you should think about the situation, that you should drop it and return to yourself and just try to sit with your own feelings.
Well, also that we're all designed differently, and there are people who are very happy to adapt to others and feel good. Their vibe is good when they can accommodate other people's need opinions or attitudes. And I'm not that way. And so I get into trouble when people say,
well, wait a minute.
Compromise.
Exactly. I was just going to say, I think that the way you presented that, I would say, let's just go a little deeper. It's not so much whether, again, if I'm hearing you correctly, whether we can accommodate others or not, because of course we would like to be of service and we would like to help others and we would like to, but it's a question about when we sacrifice our own integrity to do that. It's the balance between these two forces. So in other words, your right to be who you are and to be on your own unique pathway and to be a decent, good human being, respect other people, be a contribution to the world, be of assistance, accommodate others, whichever. But again, when you sacrifice your own integrity to do that, that's when you get in trouble.
But it's also about how you hold integrity. You know,
okay.
What is, for instance, empathy is something that you and I probably could agree on, but if you look at the research on it, most people don't have empathy.
I agree.
And why not? And that's because they're programmed by their communal needs, their tribal needs, their families, their communities. And for them, you know, it's very comfortable to compromise their morals for the sake of the larger commune.
Well, I think that I would probably frame what you're saying in terms of the evolution of consciousness. If we go back to, and there is actually a chart in my book about the different levels of energy. I think it's on page,
Now, all our listeners should be turning to the page.
Page 30. But again, if we
follow your inner compass.
Thank you. But if we go back to the evolution of consciousness, we would say that all of us are evolving up the emotional scale from the tribal, as you say, from the group consciousness to the individualization to the higher frequencies,
Collective consciousness.
Yeah, exactly. So you could say that, so that's also the reason why there's no one answer no answer that's for everyone. It depends on where you are in terms of your soul evolution or the development of your consciousness. And it's clear that the empathy that you and I are talking about now is definitely the higher frequencies.
I hope so.
Well, it is, obviously, because what is empathy? It's unconditional love for all of life. So as we evolve, again, so that's where the thing is so tricky about integrity, because you can't generalize in terms of every human being. It depends on where we are in terms of our development, where we are in terms of our evolution. So there's so many factors that play in, but that's actually also why the inner compass concept is actually so useful, because it's giving each person information actually in relationship to who they are and where they are in terms of their evolution. So you stop comparing yourself.
Yeah, but we have to think of who we're comparing ourselves to. And the fact that we're only speaking to an audience that has an interest in an inner compass.
Absolutely. I totally agree. Yeah.
Is mindful.
I totally agree.
And awake and aware.
I totally agree.
Because we can talk about this, you know, in terms of so much conditioning in the world that so many people are subject to because they don't have an inner compass.
Yeah, well, they don't have contact with an inner compass.
Exactly. They have an inner compass.
They have an inner compass.
But they don't know it.
No, they don't have the awareness yet. And I totally agree with you. I mean, again, I have a long waiting list of people who want to come and speak to me, but everyone who comes to speak to me as a client or who's coming for coaching or whatever, they are people who are within range of my vibrational frequency. Oh, I don't attract people who are so far away from me. So again, I totally, and the people who are listening to this radio program are people who are in sync in the neighborhood of Peter and Barbara.
So the people who connect with me,
right?
I have learned from meeting them and from clients who come in and see mm-hmm. me that I'm meeting or call in and see me. Mm-hmm. I can tune in and I can see I'm speaking to very evolved people.
Exactly, I totally agree. I mean, that's is also because we have these frequencies, these vibrations.
That's our language.
Exactly, so we're on the same wavelength. Because I mean, think about how many people there are on the planet. If they picked up this book, they would just throw it away. I mean, it wouldn't say anything to them. But I know from experience that my books, which are out in so many languages now, they find the people who are ready for this information.
Right. See, like what you just said about people not being able to look at this, I'm mm-hmm. thinking of a lot of fundamental people I know mm-hmm. who want to know, well, I don't need an inner compass. I follow the rules. Mm-hmm. And these are the outer rules. Mm-hmm. And they want to know what to be told. They need to
the security of the arbitrary standards of right and wrong. But on the other hand, you could say, if you go back to the fundamental principle of a democratic society, and it says in the Declaration of Independence that all men, and I will add, and women, are created equal, endowed by our Creator with the same inalienable rights, the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That's the fundamental principle of democracy. It doesn't define how to achieve happiness. It doesn't say, oh, you can only be happy if you live in a suburb of Silicon Valley and have two cars and that's the only way. It doesn't say you can't live in Copenhagen, Denmark, where I live, for example. So there's no... The founders, the founding fathers, they understood that every person has a connection to our Creator.
If they're awake.
Well, you haven't even but you have it even if you're not awake.
You have it, but you're not awake to it.
You're not awake. That's something else. That's our deal. But we all have it. We're all endowed by our Creator.
Right.
That's what's so fantastic.
And we want to wake up everybody.
That's true. I agree with that. Because it's more fun. It's more fun. That's the thing.
I think we're coming into a time where people are waking up in part because it's such brutal times.
I certainly agree with that.
Right. But they're here for a reason. It's part of the package of awakening.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree with that. That's definitely true.
It makes it hard to appreciate because it's the hard way to wake up.
My last book is called The Awakening Human Being. I don't think we ever did a show about that.
No, we
could do that. That's also about that, the awakening process, which is a really, really interesting topic, how challenging it is for us I mean, there are these few individuals that we hear about that, you know, one day they woke up. They just woke up and they were, but the rest of us, like you, Peter, and me, and we're sort of in this awakening process.
Right. I just did a show recently with Jason Gregory on mm-hmm. spiritual awakening.
Okay.
And we're talking about what I'd love to do shows about, so.
Okay, I'll send it to you, my book, The Awakening Human Being, and you can have a look at it, okay?
Great, that's wonderful. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this is very rich, and we'll do another show soon in about this deeper understanding of how to use your inner compass, because we're talking about all the issues around being able to get to it.
Mm. Well, actually, just to tell anyone who might be interested that the part two of the book is addressing all the obstacles and challenges that arise. It's called, the second part of the book is called How to Deal with your Fear of Disapproval. Okay. Of other people and so on, that when you do follow your inner compass, because this is a real concern. Again, when I use this, when I coach people, again, everyone that I know, and probably everyone that you know, we know people of high integrity. I guess that's a good way of saying it. People who want to be of service, people who want to make a contribution, you want to be a good parent, you want to be good at the job, all of this impulse to do good. And so when you talk about following your inner compass, a lot of people who are very high caliber people, they are worried about, but isn't it selfish and shouldn't I be of service to everyone else? So in part two of the book, I try to address some of these concerns.
Yes, and it's wonderful because we don't know really how we're to serve and don't realize that we first have to serve ourselves in order.
Exactly. That's just what I wanted to say here, that if we don't, again, it has to be a balance, of course, but if we don't take care of ourselves, then we're of no value to anyone else. I mean, people who go down with stress or who are overwhelmed in their daily lives or whatever, how much good can they do even if they want to? So it's kind of a prerequisite, you could say, to being of service, to be able to make a contribution.
Right. But if you follow your own inner compass, you'll be a better service.
Exactly. That's the point.
Yeah. So, because we're getting near the end of the show, and we have so much more to understand about this compass and how to tune into it better. That's what I'd like to focus on also, is how do we use it to the best of our ability? And we all have that deeper place we can go to get the vibes. Mm-hmm. And how do those vibes work? You know, let's talk about, we'll be able to talk about intuition versus instinct. You know, there are two different things.
Well, again, it's really about being mindful about the, because again, if we go back to the nature of reality, the way the universe is, I mean, there is only now, and there is all the information, all the thought streams, all, everything is available.
Right. We're surrounded, but how do we get to that
exactly
of getting the vibe? But we're really out of time.
Okay. So maybe I could just say one thing for our listeners. I have a free ebook on my website. If somebody would like to go in and get the free ebook, it's called The Mental Laws, Understanding the Way the Mind Works.
What's the website?
And the website is beamteam.com. So if you go, you can have a free gift from Barbara Berger.
That's perfect, Barbara. Thanks so much. And people can find the book, Find and Follow Your Inner Compass. Thanks so much for being a guest.
Thank you for inviting me. I really enjoyed it. Thank you, Peter.
And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew. I can be reached at peter@heartriver, heartriver.org, or 212-222-7748. I'd love to hear from you. And thank you so much for listening.